First Timothy chapter 1. Will we ever get out? Second Timothy chapter 1. Don't start. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And yesterday we studied what it means to know. You not only know because it says it, you know because the mystery of God has been mixed with you and made flesh in you, so you are one with it. And that's why your mind must be renewed, so that it is the mind of Christ, the total emptying, without any idolatry, without any value systems other than faith, without any plans. Then you know, what you know spiritually has been tested to such a degree that you know them by your senses. Amen?
I just think this is so amazing that here's God and here we are, and we can't see him, we can't touch him, we can't smell him, we can't hear him, we can't anything with our senses conceive, and then we can't even with our minds mix with him, and then by faith we're supposed to engage.
No.
Phenomenal.
By faith, you've got to hear this. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There are no degrees of sin. There's no little sins. One of the great misfortunes is that the Catholic Church, and many others, I mean, not just Catholics, Lutherans and others, they talk about the different degree of sin. And so, you know, that's why, then you say, well, homosexual, that's a sin. But in the same paragraph, it says, and liars. Well, which of us haven't been a liar? And so you got to see that it cuts across everything. So that your death is a predicate. Remember, he didn't come for any other reason than to give life to dead people. All right. I know whom I have believed. Believed or believed is just the word for faith. Pestio. But the next word, and am persuaded. That's a biggie. You're persuaded by the evidence so that you have total and complete assurance. Now they're going to let's look at some persuaded. We're going to see hopefully a little bit about persuaded. Go to Acts 26. We're going to go on a little trip this morning.
Are we headed?
Acts 26.
I'm there.
He's standing before King Agrippa.
It's the almost self-persuaded.
What? All right, having in verse 22. Blah, 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 no. 21. For these causes the Jews sought me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come. They told them to destroy the ice machines. No. And what did the prophets and Moses say? They said that Christ, or the Messiah, should suffer, that he should be first, the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner or in a hidden place. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I am persuaded. No. Just think about, this is a king he's talking to. He was arrested. Just think of the courage it took for him to say these things, because he was persuaded, assured, persuaded by the evidence, knows with a certainty. And that's what your heritage is, not to be thrown about by every wind and wave of doctrine and the slight tricks of your mind or your emotions or other men. You are persuaded. All right. Let's go to Romans 8. Start in verse 31. Well, let's start in verse 28. I'm sorry. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you done?
Yeah.
That was worse than Sue stirring her coffee.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. All right. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What can be against us? Nothing. I have no wants, I have no needs, I have no tomorrow, I have no yesterday. Now is the accepted time. That's the only place in which you can be persuaded. Now. And you never leave it. The eternal now. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Whom is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded again that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only place the love of God is. Amen?
Amen.
Are you persuaded?
I am this morning.
And never leave it. No pain, no sickness, no hernia, nothing can separate you from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Persuaded is the word we're studying. It's so easy to be unpersuaded. You just pay attention to somebody or you make a judgment against somebody. Pretty soon you're back down in the valley of shadow of death. What have you sold your birthright for? For some feeling of righteousness? For some idea? For some plan? Well, God is in this plan. No, he isn't. God told me to do this. No, he didn't. All right. Romans 14. Verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is clean. It is unclean. If thy brother be grieved with thy food, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Now, he's just talking about this whole idea that there's nothing in the universe that is unclean of itself. You know, he said before, just I can't remember where it is, but he said that all things are permissible, but all things edify not. Edify is a word that means, it's a word that was used in the Hebrew for the, remember the temple? Moses got all the instructions for the materials of the temple, and all the cunning workmen made the things according to the pattern, showed them on the mount, and then they set all the things over in a pile somewhere on Mrs. Moses' lawn. And then after a period of time, I think...
Would you stop that, please?
Huh?
Would you stop this?
What are you doing?
I fear... Shut up. After a period of time, it says, the tabernacle raised or edified itself. The same thing is happening here with us. We are the living stones of that parable, of that temple. And the temple is raising itself. It doesn't need our help. In fact, if we try any way to help, we hinder. The mystery, though, is that God is preparing a bride for his son. That's why time and space were created. And that bride is edified, or being built up, being born. So time and space is just the womb for that bride. The question is, are you part of the birth or part of the afterbirth? I am persuaded. All right, Romans 15.
It's interesting that those pieces on the lawn, on Moses' lawn, are perfect. And messing with them doesn't make them better. It messes them up. God's timing, he'll just put them together.
He's talking about that his ministry to the Gentiles. So in verse 7 he says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for truth unto God, to confirm the promise made unto our fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, for as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." So he was persuaded by faith that the people he had ministered to were full of all joy and goodness and faith. Now, when you look around after the flesh, that can't be true. That can't be true. There's something wrong. That can't be true. Did you turn it off?
I just got a text. So I got about 30 seconds.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's going to be a little boring. Say approximately.
All right, 2 Timothy. Back to 2 Timothy. I think I wrote that wrong. I think it's 1 Timothy. Mm-hmm. Never mind. 1 Timothy.
Did something wrong?
I did something wrong, so I can't find it. I'll find it later. I know with my senses whom I have believed by faith, and I am persuaded, assured by the evidence, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able. Able is dynatos, mighty, powerful, strong. He is able. He is able to overcome your lack of faith. He is able to transform you into the image of Christ. He is able to cause your mind to be renewed. He is able to destroy all the idolatry within you when you are willing. My people are willing in the day of my power. No more vacillation, no more, "Well, I don't know about that." You know. Amen. He's able to keep. It's a word that was that would be used to guard and protect the tribe. It's like if there was a, well, that's the best way to say it. He is able to protect his tribe. And that's, I love that kind of thinking about it. We are a tribe dedicated to the mystery of God, laying down our lives one for another, living in a mystery that no man can see, at rest no matter what's going on, fully assured, persuaded that he is able to keep this which I have committed unto him against that day. The tribe isn't just us. It's all the people that we have touched, whether they know it or not.
These things that we've committed unto him, kind of pondering that, is it one little thing at a time, or have we committed the entire thing?
The entire tribe.
If that's the position, then you're able to speak without emotional response, as you might say.
Yeah,
because you don't have an investment. It's already been committed. It's in God's hands. Not your responsibility.
Amen. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy 6. Verse 11. But, O man of God, flee these things, the idolatry, the love of money, the thinking that gain is godliness, which he talked about above. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. To him be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now, Timothy is instructed to keep that which is committed to thy trust. Now, what does that mean?
Well,
You know, I'd say to John and Josanna, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And I'd say to Gary, keep that which is committed to thy trust. We've had occasion when, in the past, when certain Bible teachers, he just left. And left the people that had been committed unto his trust. I think that's getting close to being unforgivable. Just walked away without even talking to anyone.
That hurts.
So I beg of you, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You know, I know that that wasn't unforgivable and that he is protected. But it still, it hurt me like a knife going through my heart when that happened. Amen? The committed unto him, the word really, the committed unto him is one word. It means para, it's paratheke. And it means, it's like, it's what you, it's what, the paratheke would be what you'd put in a safety deposit box. It's the deposit, which is an interesting way of thinking about the mystery. Let's go down to 2 Timothy where we are, but just go down to verse 14. And starting in verse 13, we'll get there in a minute. But hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast learned of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in thee. What is that good thing that was committed unto Timothy? It was the bodies of believers that he was responsible for. The deposit that be safeguarded. Amen? Against that day. Against means unto or into that day. Day is hemera. And day is opposed, it's the day as opposed to the night. But remember, the night in Hebrew, the beginning of the night is the beginning of the day. And the day of the Lord is his Sabbath. And so we have been in the night of the Sabbath for 2,000 years. But the day of the Lord, the light of the Lord, is approaching. And it's far nearer than we first believed. The night cometh, has come, when no man can work. Now, we're going to study, we'll just take a look at a lot of the day, the day. The day. If we did it, it's 380 references in the scriptures to that day. But we're going to look at some in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It just crystallizes this thing about that we have been in the night of the last day and the light of the day is fast approaching. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any? Kevin. It's always been, Kevin has got something. I can feel it in my bones.
Well, the stuff about keeping, you know, committed, what, you know, all that stuff. You know, you think of the scripture about the man's work will be judged, and what, you know, the precious stones, all that.
Wood, hay, and stubble, and precious stones.
And some of it will be burned up, and he'll be saved.
He'll be saved. Right. Yeah, that's a good scripture.
It sounds like Paul was saying that his ministry was coming to an end. trusting in God to whatever had been done
would be kept. Amen.
I was also thinking about what you were saying about, that which is not of faith is sin. And then it also says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It puts you in this spot where it's not an option.
Right. But remember, the flesh and all that it means, the thoughts, the mind, everything about your flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit. And everything about the spirit is suppressing your flesh. So it seems like an untenable situation. But all of a sudden, one day you'll open your eyes and say, my God, faith is already won. I've just been living a lie. Now He is my only life. What happens to me is less than important. And it has nothing to do with progress or learning. It simply has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit when your repentance is complete. Amen? We've been talking we've been having the first meetings with the employees and the people that are here, Judy and Drissan and I, and we've been talking about what it means to come home and this deposit that we're talking about, this what's committed is this home. We've come home, and that's a huge thing. There's no other place on the face of the earth that I'd rather be. There's absolutely nothing that I'd rather be doing. I pray that you can say the same thing. Amen? Mr. Bojo? Gary, you're doing it again.
No, he's
all
the
I'm
over here.
He's doing his hair. Always doing his hair. I mean, he's going
around.
It's
the big
amen.
360-degree.
Big amen? All right. Take it, big guy.
Okay. I'll spare.